Take your Bibles, please, and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 this morning. We're going to read two verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That's 57 and 58 from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'll read aloud as you read silently this morning. But in honor of the Word of God, would you please stand to your feet if you're able this morning as we read the Word of God together. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 57 and 58. Beginning at verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for these encouraging verses. I pray that you would work on our hearts and lives today and meet our needs this morning. In this room, there's multitudes. So Holy Spirit, you need to work mightily today. Please fill our pastor with thy Holy Spirit. Use him so that we can be helped today if we want. Now please, if there's somebody in this room this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior from their sin and this victory in Christ, I pray before they leave this room, they would trust Christ as their Savior. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, check your cell phone and make sure it is turned off. Look, I brought mine with me today. My $1 Pantech cell phone. Flip phone, by the way. Look at that. Pretty snappy. And it's on silent. So wait a minute. It's on silent. So now make sure yours is also, would you? I left in Brother Evans' car yesterday. We were down at the wedding, Brother Cannon's wedding, and I forgot and left it in there. So if you called me yesterday, I have no idea what you wanted. It was actually relaxing yesterday afternoon, come to think of it. But so help us there, please. We would appreciate that very much. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you need victory over something in your life today? The subject in 1 Corinthians 15, I need you to keep your Bibles open where we read today. The subject here is victory. Do you see that? The context of Scripture is always important, what the Bible says before and after the subject. But here the subject is victory. Verse 54, death, end of the verse. Death is swallowed up in victory. Verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Verse 57, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's talking about victory now. That means overcoming something. Not just overcoming it, but actually winning. Knowing victory over something. I guarantee there are people this morning, you need victory over some things from your past. Things that still bother you today. You need to see some victory in your life. Maybe it's something in your present day, right now. You need to see God's hand to bring victory in your life. Or maybe in the lives of others. But more importantly, just for you today. Maybe it's someday, or I know that someday, you're going to need to know the victory of God in your life. Where God wins. Seems like just sometimes it looks like God isn't always winning all the time. Never, never, never assume for a moment that what you see today is the way things are always going to be. I know one thing, my friend. When it's over and said and done, God wins. Now that's very important. Say, well, I'd like to see some of that today. Well, that's what victory is about here this morning. Now, in the passage of Scripture, the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this 58-verse chapter in our Bible, is talking about the resurrection. People rising from the dead. That's why it says in verse number 54 at the end, death is swallowed up in victory. Now, look at me for a moment. How can we know to have victory in our day-to-day lives, victory over sin, victory over habits, victory over bad situations in our lives? How can we know that we can have victory on a day-to-day life when God's talking about victory over death? Because, friend, the God who brings victory over death, since he had, not if, since He has conquered death and brought victory out of that. There's nothing that can stand in God's way now. So that's why in verse number 58, he starts talking about how we live our lives. Therefore, beloved brethren, he says, my beloved brethren, verse 58, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always. He's talking about how you live your life now in relation to death and victory over death, in relation to victory over the grave, in relation to, because since the greatest obstacle we really face is the end of this life, and God's already conquered that and brought victory. So he's saying, let's back it up then and consider this. Then there's nothing in this life that God cannot give you victory over. God will, God can, if you and I are willing to understand what it means to have that kind of daily victory in life. So it's already been provided. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection conquered sin and death and hell and gave us the greatest of all victories. So how can you know to have daily victory in your life? First of all, you need to understand something. Victory has already been provided by Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And understand this, victory is not permanent. Daily victory is something you have to have every day in your life. If you've ever conquered a habit in your life, you also know that it's a day-to-day battle, isn't it? Something you have to overcome, something you have to realize God's help and blessing with. But you also know it's not far to go back to it. You can start old life habits very quickly, very easily, unless God gives you a day-by-day victory over those things in your life. So this morning in verse number 58, while I want you to keep your Bibles open there, I want to show you how you have this daily victory, how you can have victory over anything. You name it, God can give you the victory. Say, how do you know? One more time. Because he has given us victory over death, that which man cannot conquer on his own. It's interesting today they have for about the last 15, 20 years, they've had what they call cryogenics, where people freeze their bodies when they die, hoping that someday man will come up with the cure for diseases that kill these folks or just death itself, and they'll be able to thaw them out, bring them back to life, and then they can start life all over again. Well, I got news for you. They're popsicles. That's just about it. Man is not, that's probably a crude way to say it, isn't it, Brother Evans? But they are popsicles. Well, never mind. Let's get off that thought for a moment. They're frozen people. Let's put it that way. They're not coming back. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. God conquers death. But now here's the point, ladies and gentlemen. Since he has given us victory over death, then he can give us victory over sin. He can give us victory over our past. He can give us victory over failure. He can give us day-by-day, regular, daily victory in our lives. If verse number 58, there's a few simple steps to daily victory here that I want us to see this morning. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Step number one to victory, daily victory, victory over sin, victory over habits, victory over the past, victory over things that beset us, victory over daily troubles. The step number one is you have to be brethren. My beloved brethren, he's saying, that's salvation. You know, salvation through Jesus Christ is the doorway to victory. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, the Bible said, he is a new creature. Behold, all things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When you get saved and you are born again, God can give you and will give you victory because you'll become a new creature. You'll be able to put away the past. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You'll be able to see the effect of the change of God's grace in your life, but it takes place with salvation, first of all and foremost. Now, I've seen people change their life without God's help. I've seen people change their life with things that are contrary to what the Bible says. You say, well, then it doesn't make any difference. No, what I've seen them do is just change one yoke for another yoke. Change one form of bondage for another form of bondage. They just simply change one addiction to another addiction. They change one thing. You say, well, as long as it gets them off of drugs or alcohol or vile things in their lives, as long as that's the key. No, that's not the important thing. This morning, ladies and gentlemen, in Jesus Christ, in salvation, a person can have victory over any kind of bondage of sin and slavery in their life. Because it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a New creature. That means new creation. That means God starts something brand new in that person's life, makes them a different person, a brand new person. Does that mean it happens overnight? Nope, but it begins at salvation. And then as that person is willing to let the old things go and the new things come in their life, God begins to see a great change in their life, and you will too. Excuse me. It is not possible to be born again, saved, washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and be the same after that. Mm-mm. We don't want to get into this thing where we call them fruit inspectors, where people say, well, by their fruit you shall know them. Now that's Matthew chapter 7, and it's talking about what false teachers say and preach. See, it's not my job to examine the fruit of your life to say whether or not I think you're saved. But we also know this. When a person is saved, born again, they are a new creature. The Bible says so. Something is different after salvation. You cannot have victory and be the same. You just can't have it. As I said a moment ago, I've seen people change one system of bondage for another system of bondage. Look, they change from carnal fleshly habits to become enslaved to selfish and self-centered living. They change from one thing to another thing, but it's not a change of life, it's just a change of bondages. Whereas if you come to Christ and get saved, God will change who you are. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You have to be brethren, step number one to victory. Hey, don't miss that step. That's the key to everything. That's what America needs today. Our nation needs a good old-fashioned Holy Ghost dose of born-again people in this country. Then look at verse number 58. The next step to a victory in life, daily victory, is be steadfast. Steadfast in the Bible simply means, look, it means stay with it, stick with it, and don't give up. See, look, with the grace of God in your life and the help of God in your life, child of God, it is essential that you learn the principle of stay with it. Stay with the things of the Word of God and the will of God. Stay with the things that God would have you to do. Be steadfast. Steadfastness will produce victory if you stay long enough to see the victory. I've seen a lot of Christians in their life come up against something in their life, and because they gave in and they gave up, they missed the victory God had for them. In my own personal life, I've seen times before where I was pushed to the limit of my abilities or my character or just the limit of what I wanted to put up with in my life. But I just told the Lord, I said, God, if you'll just help me. I'll give you an example. I was going through one of those times in ministry in my life where I was having people with problems and they were getting after me about different things. Preachers have that every now and then. And I got a couple of phone calls, people complaining about different things, important things. Their baby's pacifier was lost in the nursery. Their kid didn't get a ribbon at one of the things that we did. I mean, big now. We're talking big, people. We're talking earth-shaking, life-transforming, huge events. You know, they worked for 6 months to get their mom to come to church, and then I said something about Catholicism, and she was a Catholic. You know, stuff like that. And those kind of things. And it was one of those days where I was just getting regular stuff. And I was kind of pushed to my limit anyway, and I was sitting in my office, and the phone had rung about 4 or 5 times that day and got chewed out about something. And I sat there and I said, Dear Lord, that phone rings one more time, and one more person calls me. That's it. I'm going to quit. Now, let me just tell you something right now. If you ever mess with God like that, don't do that. Number two, the phone will ring. Number three, don't pick it up. Okay, let me just say that. Because God's in heaven going, call that idiot. You just mess with me. Call that idiot. And sure enough, the phone rang. And I picked it up. And one of the sisters of the perpetual protruding posteriors is on the other end of that line. And brother, she was nailing my hide. I mean, she was raking me over the coals about something really serious. She was talking 60 miles an hour with gusts up to 80. I mean, she was blowing and going. And I was sitting there listening to her, and I thought, you got to be kidding me, God. I just told you, don't do that to me now. Look at this. She's going, I put the phone down, went in, made a sandwich. I was in the that was in my office in the garage, still have one. And I went in the kitchen, made a sandwich, came back, sat down, and put the phone down, ate my sandwich, had some chips, did a little work on a sermon, made a few letters, and then picked it up, and she was still going. And after a while, she said, and that's what I think about you and your church. And she hung up. And I lost it. You mean your salvation? No, I got close, but no. I slammed the phone down. I slammed it down so hard, I broke the handset. I lost it. I just came uncorked, unscrewed, and lost it. I ripped the phone out of the wall. I turned my desk over. I tore my office apart. I mean, I turned over the bookcases. I just had a fit. I mean, I had a good old-fashioned Holy Ghost fit, right? Well, the Holy Spirit wasn't in on that. But, I had me a fit, okay? And my poor family's in the house here, and they thought there was a maniac or Gadara in the garage out there. And I had a door that went from my office in the garage right out to the front of the garage to the neighborhood and that kind of stuff. And I said, that's it. I quit. I had to. I tore my office up. And I quit. That's it. I went walking off down the street, and I was having I was so stinking mad. I was about to have it. This is it. I said, okay, God, this is it. I'm going to take a little walk around the neighborhood. And then when I come back, I'm going to go back in that office and find paper that I could still write on. I'm going to write a resignation letter. I quit. I'm done. I'm had it with this thing. I'm not going to put up with this anymore. You've never been there before. Just stay with me on the illustration, okay? And I walked a little bit further around the neighborhood. I don't know what my neighbors thought about me. I mean, I was waving my arms, and I was talking to God. And I'm out there talking to myself is what it looks like. I go around the corner, and there were these power line stanchions with the big concrete posts at the bottom like that. I thought, well, I'll go over there and sit down for a minute and just kind of collect myself before I go back and resign because I've done it. That's it. I said, one more phone call. That was it. I tore my office up. I'm done. I've had it. This is it. I'm out of here. I sit down there for a moment, composed myself, which I should have done before I tore up my office. And I said, dear Lord, before I quit you, I just want to tell you I'm sorry I quit. And I apologize. You've been so good to me, and here I am quitting on you like this. The Lord, forgive me. And God, look at me. God began to do a work in my heart. I felt a tingling sensation. And I looked down, and I was sitting on an anthill. Folks, they went up my shirt and down my shorts. I thought it was the Holy Spirit. I did. I really did. Now I'm going back to the house like this. Look like a worship dance team at Bethel. I mean, I'm trying to put the ants out. I'm crying, I'm laughing, and I realize, you know, God has got a sense of humor. If you don't believe that, look at the person next to you. I mean, God has got a sense of humor. And I'm putting out ants, and these things are biting the fire out of me. I thought, oh, man, you got to be kidding me. And I was laughing and crying and going back to my office, opened the door and looked in, and I thought, what in the world happened in this place? Johnson, you lost it bad. Look at this place. And I sit down and I said, okay, God, I'm sorry. I won't threaten you anymore. Dead sure won't do that, I guarantee you. Haven't done it since. Won't threaten you anymore, dear Lord. And if you'll be patient with me, I'll go one more day now, God, and just do what I can do for you. Steadfast. See, we think that means, well, that means you got to go for the long term, Pastor Johnson. You just got to go today. That's what you got to do. Today, but not by yourself today. Today with God's grace today. Today with God's help today. Today with a determination. And you don't put things in front of God and say, well, if you don't do this, God, then I'm going to... He'll make you sit on an anthill to teach you better than that. He'll get it right. Now look at me. You got to be steadfast enough to go one more day. And then you get up the next day and one more day. And you put two of those together, and then it's three and four in a week and a month and years. And trust me, my friend, the grace of God is sufficient to carry us through all of this. And here's what happens. Then victory comes. Why did you make a mark around the walls of Jericho once a day for 6 days and seven times on the seventh day and say no word before the walls fall flat? He could have just made the walls of Jericho fall flat with them staying in the camp and watched it from a distance. He wanted them to go over and walk around the walls once a day for 6 days and seven times on the seventh to see if they would just do what he told them to do. That's all. To be steadfast enough to be obedient to God to do what they're supposed to do. You be steadfast, my beloved brother, and I'll guarantee you victory will come. Then quickly, number three, you have to be unmovable. Verse 58, unmovable. That means the circumstances and situations of life do not move you. Yeah, but I can't help that, Pastor Johnson. If you just knew what happened to me in my life, you'd understand why it is I have to do this in my life. Listen to me. There's times when you need to stand still and let God show his hand. Unmovable. You've just got to stay. Listen to me. You can't, everybody, when you continue to use conditions and circumstances in life as your excuse and your reason for why you can't do it anymore and why we're not going to do this again and why we're not going to get there, then there, by the way, you're just asking for more trouble. Don't you understand? Look at me. When you let life move you, Satan is going to keep your life moving. He's going to keep moving. He's going to keep creating circumstances that are going to move you and move you in life to where you say, well, I was going to do that, but then I can't. I've seen it so often in the Christian life. It seems like some people's problems, they don't seem to understand. They're perpetuating their problems. Because every time something happens, they quit, they back out, they step out, they give in, they give up, they step out. And they don't understand every time you do that, Satan says, see that? See that? The devil's saying, see that? All we got to do is just keep them under the gun. They're gone. Not all problems are from the devil, but I assure you much of what we do perpetuates our problems because we continue to be moved by our circumstances instead of having that anchor that's steadfast and sure for our souls. See, steadfast produces an unmovability in your life where you hold your ground and say, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to just hang in there, do what God wants me to do, and stop letting life move me around and continue to push me around in what I do. You say, you can't always help it, Pastor Johnson. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Because you have a God who's unchangeable. Why do you think he said that Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever? Why do you think the Bible says, I am God? God says, I am God and I change not. To show us the stability that comes from associating your life with him and his word. So the things that come in your life will not move you from what you should be doing. Move you from where you should be. Move you from what you ought to do. And you know what happens after you're steadfast and unmovable? Victory comes. Then God says, okay, here we got something that's consistent, steady in a person's life, unmovable. Wait a minute. Then the next step is always abounding in the work of the Lord, verse 58. There are some things we need to increase. There are some things we need to change. And here's what it is. I need to make sure my obedience is right. My life is right, and I add to that. Here's one of the best things you'll ever do when you need victory in your life. Step up to what you know God wants you to be doing. Step up to it. Oh, but Pastor, see, here's my problem. Now listen to me, listen to me. Yes, I understand that. I've been there, you've been there, all God's children been there before. But the truth of the matter is, if I will not abound in the work of the Lord to go forward enough to continue what I should, I'm never going to get to victory. It's the illustration of the children of Israel and the snakes and the serpents in the wilderness. How that when the serpents came in and bit them, they cried out for deliverance, and God told Moses to put a brass serpent on the pole and held the pole up, and everyone that looked was cured from the snake bite. But did you notice and remember something in Numbers? It didn't make the snakes go away. What made it, what they got victory over snake bite was the cure, was the serpent on the pole. The remedy was what it says in Numbers when it said, and they took their journey and they went on. They left the snakes behind. They took the cure and left the snakes. We come up against something in our lives and we think, well, I guess I'm just going to give in to sin. You just guaranteed you're going to have nothing but more problems with sin. when you should be abounding in what God wants you to do. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. What God has asked me to do. I need to add something to my Christian life when I want victory. Not take away. I need to increase. It doesn't have to be a lot now. Just say, well, I guess I got to do. No. You just need to add a little something. Hey, you know 15 minutes can absolutely bring victory in your life. 15 minutes. Very simple. Back up the clock and get up 15 minutes earlier and spend that time with God. 15 minutes can change your life. Just a little bit of extra time. When was the last time you added a little something to your walk with the Lord, your time in the Word of God, and your time in His in prayer with Him? When was the last time you added something? Some of you Sunday morning Christians, you'll see more victory if you'll just stop the Sunday morning Christianity. Back up an hour, go to Sunday school. Change your life. Just because you're abounding, you're going forward in what you're doing. Go to church on a Sunday night. We got air conditioning. It's okay. It'd be amazing how it will bring victory. See, some of us, we're steadfast and unmovable, but the problem is we are steadfast and unmovable against what God wants us to do. We've got our position all right. He's not budging. He's not changing me. Like that man that told me when he came to visit our church for about a month and he quit coming, I went to visit him. He said, I'm not going to church anymore. You're trying to change me. I said, this is bad. This is not a good thing. Now look, friend, steadfast, unmovable means steadfast with God, unmovable against the things that are trying to move me from God, but abounding in the work of God, not steadfast and unmovable against God, not letting Him change anything about my life. See, you can't have victory and hold your position against Him. You got to have victory and go forward for God. I'll never forget the young man who came back from Iraq and was talking about when we're still in the combat situation in Iraq, talking about his training he received when ambushed. And they told him, when you're ambushed, you must go toward the enemy. If you run and you turn away, you will be killed. Your only chance in ambush is to go at the enemy. That's it. The Maasai people in Africa, when they teach their children about how to live among the lions where they raise their cattle and things, they teach their children, when you hear the roar of the lion, you must understand that your safety is going toward the roar, not away from it. You got to run to the roar. That's where your safety is. Because the lion, the male roars, the females catch those animals who scatter. You run away, you will be eaten. You must go toward the roar. See, this is the idea of what God's working today, my friend. You need to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. That used to be Christianity won't bring victory. Well, I'm still in church and I'm still here doing what I've always done before. Excuse me, you better change that. I guarantee you're not seeing the kind of victories you once knew. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, going forward in what we do. The last step is a remembering in verse number 58. It says, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain, in the Lord. You know, victory comes when we remember how much God has brought victory in our lives. You can't be a child of God in the grace of God for very long and not seeing some victories. Yeah, but I need them now, Pastor Johnson. Well, you need to remember some of the ones that you had. There's a whole book in the Bible for the children of Israel that reminded them of what God had done. It's the book of Deuteronomy. It's Deuteronomos. It's a Latin word that means second law. And in that book of Deuteronomy, God repeats, they're about to go into the promised land and take on the battle to win the promised land and conquer it. And before they did, God said, now here, let me tell you about what we've done up to this point. And reminds them again. The children of Israel, even to this day, still talk about being delivered from Egypt's bondage almost 4,000 years ago. They still talk about the victories God brought to their nation. See, they have a good remembrance. Do you remember some past victories, don't you? That illustration about tearing up my office and all that kind of stuff. Did you know right after that, God did some really great things in my life and in our church? What I remember is being such an idiot, I tore my office up and acting like a fool. But what I also remember is this. When I went back and sat down and said, okay, God, I'm going to shut my mouth and do what I'm told. And I'm not resigning myself to anything. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to, God. And I'm sorry I even thought about quitting you. Victories came. God did some things. Every time I remember that the labor, when you labor for God, it is not in vain. He has brought victories in your life, hasn't he, Christian? Okay, there's three of you. The rest of you, if you hang around long enough, you'll get one too. Okay, the truth of the matter is, now look here, look, Dr. Rob's coming next week, so we better just go ahead and get with the program this morning so we get some concept of what's going on. If right now you can't think of some victories God has brought in your life in the past, then I'm wondering if your remembrance doesn't need a little, you need a little shot in the amnesia. Something, you need to remember some victories in your life. Things that God has done, and recalling that your labor has not been in vain in the Lord. Now, has it? Excuse me. Amen, preacher, that's right. It's like preaching to a grocery store full of wooden Indians, man. I mean, I said God has brought us some victories, has He not? Thank you very much. I know you want to get the hometown buffet, so let's wrap it up. What do you say? The truth of the matter. But He has, dear people. Come on. The God of heaven brings victories in our lives. We not be what we are and what we ought to be, but blessed be God by His grace, we are not what we once were. That's a victory. See, that helps us. And it doesn't just encourage us to keep going. It encourages us that the God who has is the God who can. And the God who did is the God who will. And the God who was is the God who is. And it'll get there. God will get us through this thing. And victory will come. Yes, it will. Beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's stand on our feet, please, this morning.